Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Good morning and happy Easter. It's Resurrection Sunday. It's a day we celebrate that Jesus is alive, alive forevermore. And if you know him as your Lord and Savior, he lives within you. We've got reasons to celebrate and to live in victory today because Jesus is risen from the dead. Well, today I want to talk to you, of course, about this incredible day and this special event, which really is the hinge of history, the day when Jesus rose from the dead. A few years ago, there was a cruise ship which was setting sail to go towards Durban. And they'd been traveling around the southern parts of Africa. And on that journey, they had been rushed into a port because the weather had been quite poor. And they were on a tight timeline, so they needed to set sail in really poor conditions. To be honest, the captain took a risk. And as they set sail for Durban, the seas began to get a little bit rougher. The wind began to blow even more. And those who were on the ship were on a holiday. So they thought this was just part of what it is to be on a cruise. And they were sitting down. They were having their meals. They were up dancing to the band. And then all of a sudden, the boat began to take some heavy rolls. And things began to get a little bit choppy and the waiters began to spill the drinks. And people began to think something is not right here, but they just persevered until the lights went out on the ship. And then they realized that something serious had gone wrong. The band that were playing that night, their guitars and their drums fell silent and they began to help some of the people who had fell over in the dark and began to just calm people down. And after about an hour or so, they realized that the lights hadn't came back on yet and something wasn't right. Moss, the guitarist in the band, thought, I'm going to go and see what's happening here. And him, along with a magician who was aboard the cruise ship as part of the entertainment, went below deck to find out what was happening. As they made their way down the decks, they began to see people in a panic. They began to see some of the crew members with life jackets on. They got right down to the engine room and it was almost silent. They had realized that the engine had stopped moving. And they went up to the engine room door and they listened through the door and they could hear a large body of water swelling back and forth. They realized that this ship was sinking. So they rushed back up and they tried to find some crew members and they tried to find the captain, but they couldn't find him anywhere. And they eventually realized that the captain and some of the crew members had already abandoned ship and were sailing off in one of the lifeboats. Moss realized that this needed immediate action. And he began to gather people and he began to help people get into lifeboats. People were putting on life jackets. They were fearful in the midst of this storm. They were trying to get to a place of safety. And as they were doing their best, the boat began to list to one side as it took on more water. They got as many people into lifeboats as they could until it got too dangerous. And at that moment, Moss, the guitarist from the band on the cruise ship, ran up to the bridge. And when he got there, the bridge was in darkness and there was no one to be seen. Unfamiliar with all the equipment, he did his best and found a radio and began to shout down the radio, "Mayday, mayday, mayday." And after a few minutes of shouting this message and waiting for a response, finally someone responded and asked what their mayday was, and he explained that their ship was sinking. And the person on the other side asked, "Well, where are you?" And he said, "Well, we're somewhere in the middle of the ocean." He said, well, what's your coordinates? He says, I've got no idea what my coordinates are. And then he said, well, who are you? What rank are you? He says, I'm the guitarist from the band. Eventually, they went to try and find someone who knew what was going on, and they finally found the captain who was hiding at the back of the ship, who was smoking a cigar, and with a white, pale face, eyes as wide as they could be, he was in complete shock. They get the coordinates to the rescue services, and helicopters begin to arrive. And in the darkness of that night, one of the rescuers lands on the ship and speaks to Moss and explains to him how he can help people get into the slings to be lifted up into the helicopter. And they evacuate that ship as quickly as they could. And then when day broke, they finally got everyone off the ship. Not one person lost their life that night. All because the guitarist in the band took action when others who had positions of responsibility abandoned their posts. You know, this story of a cruise ship tells us a little bit about what Jesus did for us. See, Jesus came to this world with a mission and with a purpose to rescue us from ourselves, to rescue us from this world, and to take us to be with him for all eternity. Jesus came and he was one of us. He left the seat of authority, the seat of privilege, came down to earth, lived his life among us, and at the end of his life here on earth, he completes his mission. Whilst on the cross, he breathes his last breath. He releases his spirit and he says these words, "It is finished." He completes the work of salvation, but he isn't finished. See, there was still more for Jesus to do. And today as we look at this Easter story, we need to remind ourselves that although Jesus said, "It is finished," he didn't say, "I am finished." That he had work still to do whilst here on earth. Turn with me in your Bible if you're following along in John's Gospel. And we're going to read together from chapter 20. It's entitled in my Bible, "The Empty Tomb." Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying there in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. While it was still dark. Jesus is your hope in the dark. Jesus meets you in your darkest place and brings you hope. Earlier this week, on Monday night, there was a protest against the living cost, the price of energy in our nation. And the protest involved turning off the lights in your home at 10 p.m. And for 10 minutes, your house was to be in darkness and then turn the light back on at 10 past 10. Now, I saw a video of someone who captured that moment when all those homes in darkness turned on their lights at the same time. The scene was quite clear as they looked out over the horizon, mostly in darkness, and then there was a flicker of light as everyone turned on their house lights once again. You know, in that tomb, on that day, the world was in darkness. People were in a dark place, but in one moment, the light came on. You know, Jesus meets you in your darkest place. On Silent Saturday, the world is in darkness. There's no light. There's only darkness. All hope was gone. It seemed like death had won. It seemed as though Jesus had been defeated, that he was dead in the tomb, lifeless, no breath in his body. It seemed like the light of the world had been snuffed out. Jesus is there in the tomb. The world is without Jesus. The world without Jesus is a dark place. It's a hopeless place. In fact, your life without Jesus is a hopeless place. It's a dark place. But the good news is that Jesus will meet you there. While it was still dark, Mary went to the tomb. And in that moment's proceeding, Jesus had released and given up his life, his breath. He gave up his life for you. He gave up his life for sinners, not for good people, not for people who had it all together, but for people like you and me. He gave up his life, but he held on to his love. He held on to his love for you. He held on to his deity. He was still God, but he was dead. He died for you. And then, with one miraculous breath, he is transformed. Our lives are changed forevermore. In that one breath, life flows into his body. And he's no longer trapped in that earthly tent. He is risen into his glorified body. In that moment, he is alive and alive forevermore. John opens his gospel by saying, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Death thought it had won. Satan thought he had the victory, but Jesus Christ overcomes death, hell, and the grave. It might look dark. It might even feel dark where you are today, but Jesus is your hope in the darkness. Lazarus, the friend of Jesus, is dead 4 days. It seemed like all hope was gone. He's in a tomb. He's there for 4 days. His body is beginning to stench. It looks like it's all over. But Jesus commands Lazarus to come forth. His body is revived. He comes back to life. And Jesus makes that declaration describing who he is. "I am the resurrection and the life." Jesus is the resurrection. Jesus is the hope in the darkness. It's dark, but he's not done. And I want to say to you today, if you feel like you are in a place of darkness and all hope is gone, it might seem dark, but he's not done. Jesus is alive and he's still working in the midst of your situation. So we see here in the account that Mary experienced that it was dark. And then she tells us that the stone had been rolled away. She's completely confused by what has happened. She runs to Simon and to Simon Peter and to John and says, they've taken the Lord, they've removed the stone. You know, nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus. In the book of Romans in chapter 8, we're told that neither death nor life can separate us from God's love seen through our Lord Jesus. You know, nothing can separate you from God's love. And here in this story, we see an obstacle that was between Mary and the other disciples and their friend, their Savior, their Lord. And that obstacle is taken away. I wonder, do you feel that there is something blocking you? Something that is in your way to experience and know the love of Jesus? No, the only thing that can separate us is sin. And Jesus came to this earth to deal with the sin issue so that you can experience the fullness of his love. Do you know that there's nothing that you've done that can keep you from his love? Doesn't matter how good you think you are. Doesn't matter how bad you think you are. Doesn't matter what you've done. Nothing can separate you. If you come to Jesus with an open heart and ask him to forgive you of your sin, he will embrace you with his love. That's what Jesus came for. You know, Mary Magdalene knew a lot about darkness. Mary Magdalene, the Bible tells us, before she encountered Jesus, she was possessed with 7 demons. She knew what it was like to live in the dark. But when she encountered Jesus, when she experienced the love of Jesus, when she encountered his power, her life was not improved, not just made a little bit better, completely transformed. And now, she wanted to live her life in the love and the freedom that Jesus had brought to her. And she would do whatever it took to be with Jesus, even to go to a tomb in the dark. Now, I don't know about you, but that's not some place that I would like to go on a dark night, into a graveyard or even to a tomb. But she was desperate to be near Jesus. When she gets to the tomb, she is shocked, she is surprised. The tomb's open, and Jesus is not there. She just wanted to be with Jesus. She thought that Jesus had been taken away from her. But the tomb is open so that she could see in and to show us that nothing can separate us from our Father, that nothing can separate us from our Lord, that nothing can separate us from his love. She knew the darkness. She'd experienced the light. Her life was completely transformed. Do you know today, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Friend, you could be watching me today and you are in a place where you feel so detached and so far away from God. Maybe it's Easter and you've just tuned in today because it's Easter and you've been in church before and you know the whole story, you know the message. But you're watching me today because this is the moment you need to make that choice, that you need to run back to Jesus. Just as the disciples ran to that tomb, they were running to find Jesus. And this is the moment that the Holy Spirit has led you to this place so that you'll run back to Jesus. Make that choice today that you're going to leave the darkness, leave the old life, and you're going to run to Jesus. And you could be watching me today and this is that you've just stumbled across us. And every person is on a journey. Every single one of us is on a journey. Some people are at the stage where they've realized that Jesus is Lord and that he's their Savior, or maybe you're just trying to figure out what is going on. Well, we see here in this passage that as Mary rushed to find Peter and John to tell them about her experience and to tell them that Jesus wasn't in the tomb, she says, "We don't know where they have put him. You know, nobody, even the disciples who Jesus told on many occasions, were expecting a resurrection on this morning. They were so discouraged and despondent, fearful and confused, that they forgot that Jesus had told them that he would rise again on the third day. And they're on this journey of emotions and trying to figure out everything that's going on. And you could be watching me and you are on a journey too. And I want to invite you to take part in something that we're launching really soon here in Apex Church called the Alpha Course. It's a journey of exploring issues of life, faith, and meaning. And as you go on this journey, if you come with an open heart and an open mind, and just ask the questions that are going on within you, find out who Jesus really is. Not just what you've heard about him, not just what your experience of other people has been, but actually who Jesus is. And that, if you go on that journey, I'm believing that your life will be completely transformed. You'll hear about that later in our service, how you can sign up for that. But these people are on a journey. You know, Christianity is not an event, it's a journey of a lifetime. And Peter and John, they run towards the tomb, and they arrive there, and they've got different initial reactions. John gets there first, and he doesn't go into the tomb right away. He sees that the stone is rolled away, but he's a bit apprehensive. He's a bit confused, not sure what's going on. Whereas Peter, typical Peter, if you know Peter, goes straight in to the tomb. And on this journey, often we start at this place where it just seems too good to be true, impossible to believe. Mary couldn't understand what was going on. She couldn't believe what had happened. She's still thinking that Jesus has been taken away. John doesn't go into the tomb right away. He's still trying to figure out what is actually happening here. He took time to consider. And if you go on the Alpha journey, you can take time and just try and just figure out all what's going on. The next stage is to check the facts. Peter goes straight in. Right into the tomb, and he sees the grave clothes. He sees that the strips of linen and the cloth are left in the shape of Jesus. They weren't folded up. They weren't ruffled. Jesus' glorified body had just passed through those strips of linen and the cloth. The cloth that would have been tied round his head to keep his jaw shut because he wasn't breathing. He died for our sins. He was dead. But when the life of God flowed through him again, he passed through and left the grave clothes there. If a grave robber had came for him, they would never have left the linen and the cloth. They would have taken that and sold it. It was evidence that Jesus hadn't been stolen, hadn't been taken away. He was risen from the dead. And then finally, John, he makes his way in and he sees. And that was enough for Peter and John to believe that Jesus was risen from the dead. Maybe you're that kind of person. You just need to find out the facts. You need to know the evidence. Come on the journey. Come on the journey and find out who Jesus really is. He's not just something in an imagination or a story. He's a real person who really lived. And there's so much evidence to prove his existence and who he is. But we see here that Mary, Peter, and John, they all encountered Jesus personally. As we read on in this story, we read from verse 11, "Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. She wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' They have taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they have put him. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize Jesus. He asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?
Who is it you are looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, she said, Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned toward them and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means my teacher. Jesus said, Do not hold on, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her.
Mary didn't realize initially what was happening, but she had an encounter with the risen Jesus. She was the first person to see Jesus risen from the dead. Mary, who had been possessed by 7 demons, Mary, who was a woman, Mary, who stood at the cross and watched him breathe his last breath, Mary is the one who sees Jesus. And when Jesus calls her by her name, she realized immediately that it was him. She cries out, Rabboni, which was a personal term, my teacher. She knew who he was. She had a personal encounter with Jesus. If you're watching me today, I wonder if you had a moment where you've encountered Jesus. Do you really know who he is? Do you really know the love that he has for you? Do you know that he calls you by name? He knows who you are. He loves you so much that he caused you to watch this today. He's calling your name right now. You know, Easter is all about this moment. Jesus came into this world on a mission to rescue you from your sin, from yourself, and to take you to be with him for all eternity. And this is your encounter moment. I want to give you that invitation right now that you can ask Jesus come into your life and to transform your life. Just as he transformed Mary, just as Lazarus was transformed coming out of that tomb, he can change your life as well. And it's really simple. He's made it so easy for us that all we need to do is respond in faith by praying sincerely from our hearts, a prayer of commitment. And if you'd like to do that today, please just repeat these words. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came into this world, that you went to the cross, you took my place, you paid the penalty for my sin. I recognize I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Transform me. Make me into a new person by the power of your Spirit. I confess you are my Lord. Help me to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer right now, a prayer for the first time, or maybe you used that as a moment to make a fresh commitment, please can you connect with us? I want to celebrate and rejoice with you. And I'd encourage you to get on the Alpha journey, and we can give you more information about that. But hey, Apex family, friend, you know Jesus, and maybe your life feels right now that it's in a place of darkness. I want to remind you that it might be dark, but he's not done. Just as it seemed on Silent Saturday, all hope was gone, there was a resurrection on that Sunday morning. On the third day, Jesus rose from the dead, and he meets you in your darkest place. And nothing can separate you from the love that he has for you. You know, Jesus says these words in Revelation chapter 1. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Jesus is alive forevermore. There is hope in this life. There is hope for all eternity because Jesus has defeated death. He's defeated the grave. He's defeated hell. He's defeated Satan. He is victorious. He is King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He's the living one who holds the keys to death in his hands. Because Jesus is risen from the dead, we have hope today that when we breathe our last breath, we will transition from this life into eternal life, into the presence of our Father forevermore. It might feel dark, but he's not done. Nothing can separate you from his love. Jesus is alive forever. I pray that wherever you find yourself today, that you will live in that reality, in the risen reality that Jesus is alive and he lives in you.